Hello and welcome to Zbrojovcast, the English language Zbrojovka Brno podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
My name is Sam.
And we're here sitting around one microphone today because I forgot to get the other one, and we've only got one XLR lead anyway. So if we're unclear, that's because we're doing it studio style.
If it's not one thing, it's the other with this podcast.
I know.
All the problems with the first mixer and then having to speak through a sock.
Yes. I take full responsibility for this. This is purely my lack of planning and not buying all the equipment and trying just to work on borrowing it. But it's sort of worked so far, so it should be fine. First order of business, of course, is to say thank you to everyone who is continuing to like the page and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We are at Zbrojovcast on both, so Zbrojovka with a S-T on the end.
Well done.
Got it right this time, yeah. And yeah, if you want to get in touch with us on social media, that's where we're at, and you can also email us zbrojovcast@gmail.com. So I suppose we should address it's not really an elephant in the room because it's already happened.
Yeah.
And it is
I'll give you listeners a clue. Sort of one competitive win in three games, team in red not living up to expectations, a really poor result the other night.
Last year, going a streak of seven games without scoring a goal,
yeah,
was it?
And that's the only difference between Zbrojovka Brno and Manchester
United. All aboard the banter bus.
Jesus Christ. It's started.
It has. Bloody hell. Yes. Roman Pivarnik, dour defensive football meister extraordinaire that still coaches his teams defensively but still manages to concede an absolute shedload of goals, is gone.
He's gone.
He's gone.
He's gone.
Thanks for nothing, Roman. Thanks for the memories.
Thanks for some things, actually. Thanks for actually getting some decent players in the transfer window, but not really getting the best out of them, perhaps.
Or by far from getting the best out of the ones that we had already. I mean, that's, if anything, you know, a coach has to coach, and it's getting the best out of the players that you inherit, and choosing a system that works. And I don't think you managed to do that with, you know, on either counts, to be honest.
Well, yeah, I mean, as we'll go into further detail with the last games that we've played and previews to the new ones, it does become rather apparent that these faults are the thing that's led to his downfall. But the one thing I'm surprised about is that I'm just not used to Zbrojovka acting so swiftly when something like this has happened.
That's a good point, actually, yeah. They're normally terrible procrastinators when it comes to stuff like this. I think also mainly because at the moment, I mentioned to somebody last week that I think Zbrojovka is a sleeping giant, to which he said, well, it's not so much sleeping as comatose and not so much a giant as just a larger than average man. It's not, you know, it's not the job it could be, let's be honest.
We're on TV a lot. Huge club.
Yeah.
Where's that Premier League money?
It looks like they've given it to Pavel Šuster, you reckon, on an interim basis.
I think. Apparently more information's coming this week, but I've not been paying as much attention. The sporting director has had an interview with the website that says not much aside from, well, he wasn't really winning games, which is true.
Yeah. The one rumour I've heard, and this is my, you know, in the know, my ITK.
Is it Jose Mourinho?
It's not Jose Mourinho.
Ah.
At the moment, I don't think I'd fancy him. respect, Sam.
I don't know, you know, sort of Silver Fox keeps in shape. I fancy him.
All right. I mean, well, you know, horses for courses. You know, I'm a Nuno Santos man.
Horses for courses. Who are Zbrojovka getting? Bloody Shergar.
Well, we have to play Pardubitzer in a couple of weeks, hey! So who knows what will happen there. My ITK, hashtag ITK, and it's from Tomáš, the bloke who sits opposite me at work, is They talked to Miloslav Macharček, who is the coach of Líšeň at the moment and who was brought in after they got rid of Mazura halfway through last year and steered Líšeň rapidly up the table in the second half of last season and drew out some great performances, a couple of which we saw, and they looked jolly impressive.
Yes, even this season, continuing that form, doing really well in the third league, and are entertaining, I think, Karvina tomorrow in the cup.
That's right, yeah. Macharček, I had a quick look at his record, and it seems to be, yeah, like MSFL and JFL clubs. He's coached at Prostějov and our friends HFK Olomouc.
Oh,
he's also been there.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, I mean, this, if they do get him, it's, I mean, you know, he won't have to move, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
He won't have to move house. But, yeah, it's a step up, but it's not a massive leap. It's only one division up. And, yeah, I mean, he can't do any, I'd touch wood, he can't do any worse. But, you know, I don't want to go there. Mm-hmm.
It's just all a very strange situation. I mean, I think even in the first episode of Zbrojovcast, we were talking about it being a strange decision that Pivarnik was basically given this season, so to speak, was kept on as manager after going down when he expressly failed to keep Zbrojovka in the division. So now it almost seems rather rushed that he's had half a dozen games and he's out in his arse. But something, and we will get to this later on, has to change and has to change quite quickly.
Indeed. Before we get to that, let's go back a couple of weeks and look at slightly happier times for our brave boys in red. Do you want to go?
Oh, we can.
I mean, no. Do you want to start?
Like, oh, okay.
Because I can cut this bit.
So. Uh huh. I see. I'm trying to think of a good loop to a bit to get back into. So, we talked about better times, and better times were had Friday night ago.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Well, yeah, not the Friday just gone, but the previous Friday. That's
nice.
Right, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. We were home to Dinamo Česká Budějovice, who were not... Were they joint top at that time?
Joint top undefeated.
Joint top undefeated at that point. And they came to our place and we sort of battered them. It was 2-1, but I think it was... It was one of the more comfortable performances I've seen from us. I think it was pretty... The first half, especially, was very solid.
Yeah, first half was pretty much fine. I mean, we deservedly took the lead, I think, at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, we almost scored from kickoff, if I remember. There was a near miss from somebody around the first minute mark after build-up from Lutonski, who was still in for Stepanovski.
He was, yeah.
We just sort of, I mean, scored, you know, some really good moments, you know, sort of halfway through the first half and then just before half time.
Yeah.
And that really did what we needed to do in 45 minutes and could sort of take some of the game off.
Yeah.
I didn't think we were too convincing in the second half, mind.
No, I mean, the second half we did the trick of, we sort of backed off again. They scored on just before, with about 35-ish minutes to go,
yeah.
Half an hour to go. And we both feared the worst. We thought, oh, right, here we go. This is going to be another, you know, back to the wall, and then they'll snatch a draw or worse. But we saw it out eventually.
Yeah, there was... we did a nonsense thing, which was we started playing it to the corner flag at about 6-7 minutes to go,
yeah.
Which I don't particularly understand. It was generally fine. Like, it might have been a different story if Česká Budějovice had actually taken some of their chances. The first half in particular, they got one-on-one a couple of times, actually.
Yeah.
And we were able to get away with it.
They didn't. They just didn't look on it, to be honest. I mean, it was fairly early, it was 6 o'clock on a Friday night. I mean,
not ideal.
I don't see why that should make a difference. But they seemed a little bit sluggish. I mean, they didn't look like a team who should be second. I think we made them look fairly ordinary. Mm-hmm. They looked about our level at that point. One thing I did enjoy. The first thing I enjoyed, which I didn't make a note of, but I remembered after the game, was that for all my slagging him off, Lutomski was half decent in that game. He set up the second goal for Vrastil, I think.
I don't know about the second goal. He was responsible for the first.
He definitely set up Lukash's goal, didn't he? he set up Magera's goal.
It actually goes a little bit off Kladrubski, the Che Bay centre-half. But he's still taking the ball up the pitch and then putting in that ball.
He looked lively enough.
It's a fortuitous, if good, goal for someone like Magera, because he hits it with the back of his head, almost sort of knowing that it's going to probably go far corner and just go over the keeper. So that was particularly good.
It really was one of those, if you don't buy a ticket, you don't win the lottery. Ones, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, I mean, you know,
he got anything on it, yeah. And it happened to sort of loop over the goalkeeper and in it dropped, which is quite nice. But that's, he continued his scoring streak. And actually, what I really liked, we talked a lot about the switch from the 4-5-1 to the 4-4-2, and what I really liked, and particularly it was very evident in the game against Cheska Budějovice, was the dynamic between him and Rusek. It really seems to be coming along, because in the first 10 minutes, Cheska Budějovice's centre-half, their number 5, I think, was clearly given instructions to stick to Magera like glue, and he was all over him. So Magera, using a bit of, you know, actual game craft, you know, match craft and so forth, rather than just trying to fight that battle, he was dropping deeper and deeper and deeper, taking his marker with him and kind of interchanging with Rusek. Magera wasn't just the target man. He was dropping deeper and leaving that gap behind him where he dragged his marker out for Rusek to run into. And they kept switching back and forth for the first sort of 15, 20 minutes until their number 5 realised he might as well give him room. He might as well leave him to drop deep, because otherwise he's just going to leave that gap. And as soon as Magera got that space to sort of drop back into or run deep from, or leave that space for Rusek to run deep from, they looked a really good partnership. And I, you know, like I said, this is one of the things that I think has come to this switch to two front men, is that they're actually starting to build a partnership that gives us different options rather than just lump it up to the big man.
Yeah, that's probably the most important thing that's happened with this change of formation, is that, you know, all of last season we played 4-5-1 pretty much with a lone striker supposedly chosen at random on the day, because it seemed to change every other week and it didn't really work. And it's remarkable how you're almost a bit more constricted with a 4-4-2 compared with like a 4-5-1 if you have like a dynamic midfield. But there's so much width there now.
Yeah, and also, it's, like I said earlier in the podcast, you have to play with what you've got. And what we've got is a hard-working bunch of triers.
Yes.
You know, I think that's the best you can say about them. There's very little flair. I mean, now we've got Stepanovski and Bartolomeu in. They provide the flair, but once you take them off the list, yeah, it's a very honest bunch of players, but I think a very, very basic formation initially to make the most of second balls and mistakes by the opposition seems to be the, like, I think that's where we should build from. It seems really not particularly, what's the word I'm looking for, forward thinking, not particularly ambitious, but we need to start doing the basics right, and that's what we haven't been doing. It's been everyone looking isolated, not sort of knowing their job but not having the tools to do it, i.e. not having support from anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And this seems to be back to basics. Yeah, it's wide, but the lines, the space between the three lines has become more compact.
Yeah.
So at least you've got at least one central midfielder stepping up, and be it Barish or Krij. And yeah, that game look fairly decent. What we have got, some half-time and full-time reaction recorded live at the stadium with a few people who turned up to see the win with us.
Yeah, we had a good crowd on Friday.
Yeah, we did. So we're going to be playing you the half-time one and then the full-time one directly afterwards. And yeah, that will be the roundup for this particular game. All right, so it's half-time. It's Brno 2, Česká Budějovice 0. I'm here with Sam and going round the table, I'm going to say.
Sean.
Hannah.
And?
Tom.
There we go. So what do we all think? Seanie, anything?
Really, really impressed with the first half. In particular, Bartholomew, he's been chasing everything. For a little lad, he's not afraid to put in a tackle and chase back. And, well, I almost scored the goal in the season as well, but... that's all I'll say now.
Yeah, absolutely stunning move from him. Well, started by Iceman winning it back and Lutonski, pretty much the only good thing he's done this half.
Yeah. Look, Lutonski also missed an absolute sitter, but he put an absolute cracking cross across for Bartholomew. Caught it with a lovely volley from edge of the box, and it's just gone over the bar, unfortunately. But yeah, very impressed.
Tom, first game since.
Since the last one. Yeah, I mean, they look a totally different team. I mean, they're comfortable, confident, play out from the back, pass it around. I think the big fella out front looks good. You know, I think he's good for the team, target man. And for me, I'd be very surprised if they go on to lose this game.
Well, I mean, you've seen us before, though,
yeah.
So.
But I've never seen us 2-0 up, so.
True. Hannah?
It's exciting. It's really exciting compared to all the Zbrojovka games that I have been to as of recent.
That's quite a few now as well.
Oh, quite a few. Not as of recently, but 6 in total over a span of about 3 years. But anyway, some of the shots I thought were a bit shite to start off with, but they picked it up. And... it's a good atmosphere. I'm forever impressed by the Zbrojovka fans, the ultras. It's so loud, and no one else has a chance to get it. I don't know, but I'm having fun.
Boys are back in town. Boys are back in town.
I said you could open it. That's a very extreme reaction, but all right.
I'm incredibly pleased, David.
So, what did we do right?
We scored 2 goals and only conceded 1. Right. We rode our luck in the second half quite some way. Reverted back to a 4-5-1 at points. But generally, that's an unexpected 3 points against one of the best teams in this division.
And we were very good, I think. Like, it's one of the most entertaining Zbrojovka games I've seen for a very long time.
Yeah.
They were very good indeed.
We're sending everyone home happy, which is great. And I'd say a workmanlike but sort of professional performance in the sense of game management in the second half as well. It wasn't always pretty, but it really got the result. And you know,
but there were genuine sparks of excitement there. Like, there was some really good play interspersed with the general workmanlikeness.
Yeah, I thought Bartholomew was the best player on the pitch by some way. I'm very pleased.
Anyone else want to? Sean, you want to come in here?
Oh, very happy with the result. Pretty much what Sam said. Like, very nervy at parts in the second half after they scored the goal. But yeah, done what needed to be done, and could have actually scored more in the second half. A couple of breakaway chances were.
Yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, happy going home smiling.
Tom, happy to come back to watch this nonsense.
No, sure, absolutely. I mean, as you said, I think very entertaining game. I mean, everyone enjoyed it. You know. Lots of chances, and I think for me the main thing that I noticed is after they conceded a goal, they didn't panic. You know, they just kept going, strong at the back, still kept on, you know, going up front, and you know, could have even got, you know, three or four. So yeah, good. Yeah, I think it bodes well for the next few games.
It's very much not the Bonneau we know, is it?
You know, very good.
Conceding a goal, they normally fold.
Yes, and, that's true.
To be honest, like, as well, halfway through that half, there's a really good save by Melicharek to actually keep us in it. Because at the end of it, they were pouring forward. It was proper. Yeah. It was proper time wasting. So we were taking things to the corner flag.
Oh yeah, with 6 minutes to go, we were trying to play out like play time wasting from the corner flag. That's almost backfired horrendously.
Yeah.
But all in all. Well done.
Oh, good game.
Very good.
And that was actually the start of an unprecedented 2 wins in a week. That was a league and a cup victory. The cup win coming against, all together now,
Zjash are an engineering company who sponsored the team since the 60s.
Is that right?
Yes. So the team's name is Zjash Zdar Nadsazavo.
Zjash Zdar Nadsazavo.
Yes.
Bloody hell. Which is why when you said that, I just thought, well, that's not how you pronounce the first word in the name of that town. It's Zdar Nadsazavo, no? Mm-hmm. But it's Zjash...
Zjash Zdar Nadsazavo.
Christ's sake.
Or Zdas? Or it's that. Yeah, it's Zdash. Yeah, Zjash Zdar Nadsazavo.
It's some motorway pile-up of consonants that happens. Okay, so, yeah, anyway, we beat those fine fellows, which meant that tomorrow night, initially... we were supposed to be in the next round of the cup against very, very local small team Slovan Rosice, which is about, well, it's on the bus route that I can get to work. It's about 10 minutes, probably.
16 kilometres west.
16, okay.
Yes.
Thanks, GMAPS.
Thanks.
Is that what happened there?
No, well, yes. Yeah, no, we've got through thanks to 2 goals, one from Jambor and then Rusek hitting late after apparently being all over them for the first half and not getting any joy. And that was more of an experimental team because you had Chico Gomez in right back. You had a bunch of changes. There was no Magera. There was there was Rusek came on, I think, later on. There was Zekel with him.
Dušan didn't play in goal. It was Pavel Holoska in goal and Stefanovski tentatively back after doing it, getting shoulder knack against Viktorka. Yeah.
So I did like that. I did like the change of team. I thought that was smart with a game coming up in a few days. And I thought it was particularly brave, seeing as the last time we played a team 2 leagues below us in the cup, we fielded a full-strength team and lost.
Yeah, that was fun.
So that was fine. Annoying time, 5 o'clock kickoff, so couldn't really get out of it. We'll be hoping to go to Rosice next week. And they are pretty much the same sort of thing. They are Divise D, fourth level. And they've had an interesting league campaign so far.
All right.
They've been scoring plenty of goals. Thanks to Blansko Klobasa on Twitter for letting us know about Jan Turtilek, who will be leading their front line.
A fine name.
Who works during the week at Electroworld, but scores a lot of goals at the weekend.
It's nice to have a hobby.
And they have been scoring a lot of goals. 3 wins from 4 in the league, beat Novi Sadi 8-0, and then a couple of games later got humped 4-0 by Blansko. So they are going a bit Hrudim. In that sense. The Klobasa also said that they have particularly vocal fans and a nice ground. And we also have prior form against this team because we played in 2012, second round cup with Rosice, and we lost.
Right. Good. Well...
No, not good.
No, I mean, it's time to, you know, avenge that particular... that particular outing.
By avenge, you mean scrape 2-1?
Yes. That's exactly what I mean. So, yeah, looking forward to that next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday, kickoff at 5 p.m. No, next Thursday, I believe.
Is it next Thursday? Have they shifted it?
I think they moved it to the Thursday.
All right.
Wednesday. No. No, it's next Wednesday.
It's Wednesday,
sorry,
I
I'm
think, yeah.
making things up as I go now. 5 o'clock kickoff, though, is definitely when it starts.
Yeah, and that's doable. I mean, I'll try and get out. Like I said, it's about 10 minutes on the bus from my office, so hopefully I'll be able to sneak out of that. If anyone is listening from work and I disappear on Wednesday at about 4:30, that's where I've gone.
Yeah, I'm going on a work site visit that day to Rosice, so that's where I'll be.
Right, okay, fine. Getting your excuses in early.
It's not an excuse. I work hard for my money.
I work hard for the money. So hard for the money. Something, 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 won't you give me that, honey? I'll find that clip and put it in, because that's a dreadful version of that.
I work hard for the money. So hard for the money. Oh, why something, something, money. Come on, give me lots of money.
And we're back with Beer of the Podcast. And Beer of the Podcast this week is Kanetz, which means boar. And it's from Breslav, which is on the Austrian border. Breslav, who apparently do beer as well as gigantic railway stations. So this is a plain famous. And we've actually just finished a bottle each of Bacalar, which was very pleasant and tasted like a normal beer. This, Sam hasn't tried this yet, and you'll still have the taste of Bacalar on your tongue. So let's get the reaction to a bit of the Kanetz.
Okay, well, this is a 12 degree, so 5%. Same as the last one, which was a 12.
Yep.
Right, well, bottoms up.
Bottoms up. Tink. Kill the dead air for a minute. What do you reckon?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh!
Is that a good ooh or a bad ooh?
It's a shock to the system, one might say. It's, right, because the thing about Bacalar, and, like, by the way, we're recording this about 5-6 o'clock. I've just come from work.
It's 7 o'clock now, actually.
Is it 7?
Yeah.
Right. But I came straight from work, and you know when you come from work and you just want a beer after a day. And Bacalar was everything you wanted in an after-work beer, you know, sort of crisp.
Easy drinking.
Yeah.
It's what in the UK would probably be called a session beer. It's not particularly
yes.
challenging, it's just tasty.
I'm going back in, listener.
You'll get it. It'll come round, don't worry.
I think I'll warm to it.
You will.
It's cold, which is nice. It's far more robust.
It is.
It's maybe a little bit sweet for my liking.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer a more bitter beer, like, you know, like when you have like a hot Bosch or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not altogether unpleasant.
Okay. Good. Well, we've got one more that won't come on this podcast, but we'll have that after anyway.
And you won't.
for the record, it's Kutnar Hora, which, if it's decent, we might have that as beer of the podcast next
yeah.
time. We'll report. Listener, I drank it. We'll report back, which gives us a nice segue into what comes next. So we went to Frostyoff.
Yes.
That cannot be denied. It happened. We went with Sean, who you will have heard earlier on discussing the Česká Budějovice game on the phone recording at half-time and full-time. And the beer-based segue is that I missed quite a lot of it because I spent 40 minutes queuing for beers. The last 15 yeah. minutes of the first half, all of half-time, and 10 minutes into the second half. Prostyoff are not ready for that amount of people to come to a game of football.
No, we took a lot, and this is what happens when you are 45 minutes, if that, away from a town that has good transport links.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so we were in, like, the away end, which is, you know, a classic behind-the-goal end. and it was, you know, temporary standing or temporary, what do you call them, stands?
Yeah, just sort of metal steps
very
to
much,
stand on, weren't they?
Very much like your Zhizhkov. And there was overspill because there's a little terrace as well beside it, or flat ground. So we took a few hundred there, actually. Yeah. It was a good turnout from Brno for a 10 o'clock in the morning game. And also, you know, tinged with sadness as well, as our fans commemorated veteran fan Drobek.
Yes, Dušan Duchon, who was, as you said, he was a member of the veteran fans fan group. And he was there every game, throwing their big flag over the fence and,
often beside our flag.
Yes, often beside our flag. The two kind of slightly weirdly outcast fan groups, the old veterans and gentlemen ultras, which is our flag that we have up there. And yeah, seemed like a jolly nice chap, and he was just found dead at his flat. No one quite knows what happened yet, but yeah, 48. So everyone, or I would say most of the people who were there, wore black, and for the first 16 minutes there was silence in the crowd at our end, and a release of black balloons on 16 minutes, weren't there? That was very nice.
Without being petty, I mean that silence was pretty much well observed throughout the stadium.
yeah. Prostoyov's what, four-man ultras section?
Four-man and a drum, putting, Dosta Bisterts of what, the Fifth League?
They give them a run for their money.
Than that.
Actually, the kids at Dosta Bisterts are louder than that.
I like the stadium. It's got a really unique feature.
Yes, it backs onto the second railway station in Prostoyov, and I'm not obsessed with railways. It seems like I'm obsessed with railway stations right now.
Listener, he is.
No. This is pure coincidence. But one of their stands, if you look at the basically to the right of where we were, used to be a railway station platform. So it has that sort of V-shaped roof, and they've just plonked seats on it, which is kind of cool, and it's a nice feature. But we didn't have much time to look at the features because we had a game to take in. And Sam, what happened with that?
Well, we lost.
Yeah.
Yes, and this is probably the one thing that ended up becoming the death knell of Roman Pivarnik. People who know us from Twitter will probably be aware that I have been talking up this game, or was talking up this game, for quite a few days, and, you know, giving it big licks about how Prostoyov are basically Zborovka Brno's retirement home.
Yeah.
And
that didn't come back to bite you on the arse at all, did it?
No, it didn't. narrator's voice, it did bite him on the arse.
Yeah. That didn't come back at all. It did.
And yeah, it wasn't a fun time on the pitch at all, really. This is a team that if we have any ambitions to be up there challenging for a promotion spot at the end of the season, should be beating quite routinely. This is a team that have, I'll say, a couple of good players, actually, but are overall nothing special. And if, as I keep saying, that I think that Zbrojevka have, say, a top three, top four sides in the league, which I think we do have.
I think we do.
We should be murdering them. And it didn't happen, did it?
No, it didn't. And going back to the possible appointment, or possible, I don't know what, sniffing around Miroslav Machacek at Líšeň. Líšeň was the team that actually knocked Prostoyov out of the earlier round of the cup.
Yes.
So just on the basis of that, we'll have him. Thank you very much. Yeah. If he's even contemplating taking the Zbrojevka job.
This is it. So maybe you can give us a bit more insight into how the game at least started. Brno actually took a 4-5-1 this time, but it was playing more as we were saying, as a 4-3-3, almost quite attacking.
The wingers were a lot narrower, and the two, let's say, wider of the central midfielders were given license to go a bit wider, particularly in the second half when Jambor came on. He couldn't keep off that touchline, could he? Like on the left of that central three. The only one that came away with any credit, I would say, was David Krij, who got up and down quite well. He was pretty lively. But the game itself was a tale of three penalties.
Tale
really.
Of three penalties and one free kick,
yes,
basically.
That was where all the action happened.
Yeah, the first penalty comes around the 28th, 29th minute. And it comes from actually a good bit of play from Brno in that half, which there wasn't so much of. Ball comes over to Magera, who takes a shot. It's he heads it actually, and it's saved or parried. He hits it again, saved again, and then it falls to Stepanovski, who is then hauled down, just completely poleaxed, basically on the left side of the box. It's a stonewall penalty.
Jan poleaxed.
No, nice.
Okay.
So that happened, and then we so for that half we were taking a 1-0 lead.
Yeah, and yeah, for the penalty up steps Big Luke, who I'm still sticking with as top scorer for this league. I think he's top scorer at the moment. He's got six in six games. Up steps Big Luke, smashes it down the middle, never in doubt. From that moment, I wanted his large arms around me and soothing me into halftime. Alas, it didn't happen, but we did go in 1-0 up.
Yes, and that's despite having a penalty going to Prostyov.
And yeah, I was in my interminable beer queue at that point, so it happened fairly near to me. Some people were saying it wasn't a penalty, it was a penalty, and it was a very, very World Cup 2018 penalty.
Yes, I at the time I missed it as well. I thought it was for a handball. I was very guilty of ball watching rather than looking at the off-ball incident.
It was idiotic. I find this kind of thing really frustrating because, like, particularly because this happened during the World Cup so much, how you expect people not to see this anymore, I don't know. Basically, what happened was your man for Prostyov was a corner from their left-hand side. And I've got... Sorry, this is going to sound really unprofessional. I've got a note on my phone because I can't remember who it was. And it was Vrashil, actually. Mm-hmm. And they have a corner on their left-hand side. The corner sails harmlessly over to the far post. Vrashil is between the 6-yard box and the 18-yard box on the side that the penalty is taken from. He's got both arms around the man he's marking. The ball sails 15 yards over his head, but he's still dragging his man backwards and rugby tackling him to the ground. It's absolutely idiotic. Why are you doing that? There's no danger at all, and you've just dragged your man backwards, and idiotic as far as I'm concerned. And yeah, it was a penalty.
Away with it.
Which they missed. They hit the post.
Yeah, Kropka smashed it against the right side of the post.
Oh, Kaja Kropka, another Zbrojovka reject.
Yes.
Couldn't score for us, can't even score a penalty for Prostyov. Mm-hmm.
But that's okay, David. They got another.
They did. In the second half, what happened there?
Yes, okay. So 58th minute, a cross comes in. It must be said, likely defended Zbrojovka Brno box at this point. For most of the game, I think you'd probably agree, we basically limited Prostyov to basically 30-yard pot shots and such. Lots of stuff went screaming over the bar on their end. But this, basically, there's an advancing Prostyov player, and it's between him and Kristofek, and the Prostyov player goes down in the advance to try to get to the ball first. I'm not convinced. I think he falls over Kristofek's heels because Kristofek has maybe got a half a yard on him.
Well, I haven't seen this yet. I saw it down the far end of the pitch, and I haven't seen it on TV replays. I would like to hope it's not, because I'm a big fan of Lukasz Kristofek. I think he's a very tidy defender.
I had to look at it about five times today, and I'm terrible with these sort of shouts because I never get things right. And listeners to the podcast will know that my predictions are god awful. But the thing that I thought was kind of telling for me was I looked back, and I don't think Prostyov are even looking for it. I don't think that they're, you know, there's a big shout or anything like that.
Yeah, it is a cliche, but I still think it's true that you can judge a lot of how much a penalty is by how much protesting goes on around it. If the team that's supposedly sinned against carries on without kicking up a fuss,
yeah,
I think there is you know a kind of sort of tacit feeling that it probably wasn't a penalty.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is, I mean, you know, that's not to say that the ref shouldn't give it, but there is a lot to be said for not just believing what you see or what you think you've seen, but taking into account, you know, wider things like the reactions of an entire team
to
when something happens.
I'm just not convinced by it. At the same time, you know, they've missed the previous one.
Yeah.
I had a feeling that they would miss the first one, but this one was just no nonsense buried. And
oh, can I also say at this juncture that is not a slight against referees. As a former referee myself, I'm very much, you know, giving the benefit of the doubt to the lads in the middle because they do a horrible job. Which I'm sort of duty and cliche bound to call a thankless task. But yeah, I think, you know, sometimes common sense and the reaction of players around you should give you some guidance in, you know, giving stuff like this.
Yeah, I actually, in fairness, I thought the referee had a half decent game.
He did. I mean, there again, it's a cliche, but the best thing you can say about a ref is if you don't notice him. He's like a goalkeeper in that way, in a way.
Do you want a good segue at this point?
Go on.
One thing I did notice was an appalling lack of end product from Zborovka Brno.
Is that a good segue?
No, it was bad.
I mean, right.
Just as bad as I think Brno were, because that's...
I see what you did.
I mean, because after it became one each or whatever, which I, you know, again, like, Prostyov weren't doing much, and from... the rest of the game, it was all in Prostyov's half.
I was going to say, it's odd that you said there was very little kind of penetration or very little sort of that from Prostyov in the first half, and they were reduced to sort of, you know, 30-yard hit and hopes. Mm-hmm. In the second half, if anything, there was too much penetration from Zbrojovka. They always needed another touch. They always wanted to lay it off. There was nobody taking it on, nobody taking responsibility, and everybody wanting another touch, another pass, another flick around the defender.
And we talked about the Cheska Budějovice game, which were three goals in that game, all scored by headers or whatever. When you have someone like Magera who's so good in the air, I don't know why you're trying to take the ball to the byline. I don't know why you're not just crossing it in. And it was just very tippy-tappy looking for a layoff to go straight into the, you know, like past the 18-yard box. And it was just nonsense. It looked all very nice until the last ball was a colossal fuck-up.
And it's not just Magera either. Okay, he's a big lad in the middle. But we were playing narrow enough, as we said earlier, in a 4-3-3 that... your winger on the other side is running in, screaming for a, you know, a flick or the ball to drop for him, and it never even went in, let alone drop for anyone.
Magera wasn't getting any of it though. This is the thing, because the ball kept coming to him outside of the box, and he's sort of obliged to try and turn to face goal and then lay it off.
Yeah, he was chasing it, which is you know very worthy of him. But if your main goal threat and your main, you know, big lad to drag defenders around is chasing the ball down because he's not getting the... you know, if he's coming out of the box towards the corner flag to chase it down...
And there were two main culprits in this, at least in the second half. Not mentioned Bartolomeu, who went off early in the second half.
He had a shocker of a game.
He looked like it was a game at 10 o'clock in the morning and he'd been out the night before. but I thought the two... basically the two, it's bad to apportion blame, etc., etc., but I think the two players that had a really off day were Stepanovski and Rusek, who were very guilty of trying to sort of play this stuff through where all you need is a good cross to get in the head of someone.
Well, I mean, Rusek didn't start, did he?
No,
Rusek, but yeah, he came on. Yeah, the only other people to point out, I think, as I said earlier, I want to see more of this kid, but I think Jambor had a decent enough game when he came on. He looked fairly fearless. I mean, yeah. he didn't necessarily produce anything, but at least, you know, he looked game. He looked up for it.
Krejci was okay.
Yeah, Krejci was okay.
And how did we lose it?
Right. Oh, quick point. Was I saying Krejci earlier?
Yes.
I meant Krejci, didn't I? I did mean Krejci. Apologies for that. Basically, we have three or four central midfielders in two spaces, and they're all exactly the same player.
And they've all start with a K.
Yeah. So, yeah. Apologies for that. How do we lose it? Well, two things happened in very quick succession. Number one, a cross was swung in, finally, from our... It was a free kick, actually. Swung in from our right-hand side. It looked like it was going to be headed away. The Prostyov defender misjudged his header completely, and it dropped to an unmarked Magera, 6 yards from goal, who didn't expect it.
And was stretching for it.
Swung a boot at it in the vain hope of vaguely connecting with it. Didn't. Dropped to his knees, knowing that was the chance. Because that was, what, 89 minutes, 90 minutes?
90, 91st or something. We'd gone into, I think, stoppage time. And that was the point when you're in the stand going, this is unacceptable. We're going to draw one each with Prostyov in a game we should win.
And that was when he should have won it. We all knew it. He knew it. The rest of the team knew it. And what happened? They go down the other end. We can see the free kick. And in the, what, 94th?
Yeah, 94th minute.
Minute. Up steps some lad from Prostyov and curls an absolute belter into the top right-hand corner.
I think it was Jan Kudelka. I'm not sure, though.
He scored the penalty.
Yes. Jan Kudelka, who I read on Twitter, was apparently running rings around Zbrojovka Brno.
I don't think that's true.
No.
I don't think anyone rang rings around Zbrojovka Brno, because I don't think either side was particularly good in any department, to be honest. The ring-running department was certainly not open for business at 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning.
Well, another goal conceded from a set piece.
Yeah.
And I am starting to worry about our defence. I'll say that now.
Well, we'll see what happens with whoever comes in. But yeah, it's a long season. And I mean, you put up that statistic on Twitter that's 11 scored, but 11 conceded.
Yeah. And now we're ninth or whatever. We are the, I think, joint second or third highest scoring in the league. Actually third. Yeah. Chebe have 12 and Jihlava have 13 or something like that.
So
we are punching above our weight, scoring goals. We're just conceding some really poor ones as well.
Yeah.
And this is the difference between Žižkov and Prostyov was, if you remember, Pivarnik saying that why we lost to Žižkov was we didn't basically get to the second ball. This game we did get to the second ball, we just did nothing with it.
Yeah. So we finished up there and slowly, in a disappointing manner, left the ground, wandered into the centre of Prostyov to be confronted with even more disappointment. Alright, here we go with the non-Vrabets review. It's Sam with another goulash.
Hi. David, are we actually doing this?
Yeah, we are.
I've been waiting for almost an hour for this food.
It's been ridiculous. I've been waiting so long for this food.
It smells spicy. It might be robust. I'm just going to do it. Meat to sauce ratio, not great.
My chips are basically cold.
Expected more meat.
You may have sensed we sound slightly pissed off, and we are. We've been waiting like an hour for this. My chips are basically cold. I don't know, how's your...
Meat's cooked better than the one in Prague, but I mean, it just tastes of salt.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's a massive
10 thumbs down for wherever the hell we are now.
Can I just say, fuck this town. Like, smash and grab sort of nonsense win, and waiting ages in an original restaurant for a sort of a tepid, dull goulash. Take me home. Take me home, back to Brun.
Yeah.
And we're back. The second half of this week and this weekend, we're doing something very exciting. We promised ourselves one kind of silly away trip this season, i.e. one that will take us a very long way away and to somewhere we'd never been. So we're going to Ustinadlabem, the heart of the North Bohemian Brown Coal Basin.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say it. I was going to say it's been a long time since a Schmidt was seen dead in the Sudetenland.
Too soon?
I don't know.
Bloody hell, Sam.
I didn't even mean the scene dead as in that, though. I was just like going to the Sudetenland. If you have any complaints about my behaviour on this podcast, please keep it to yourself. We're going to Usti on Thursday.
We are going to Usti, yes. carry on.
Seventh largest city, if you can call it that, of the Czech Republic, about 90,000, and it's a pain in the arse to get to.
It's
long.
It's a long way. Yeah, it's Prague, and then it's another hour and a bit the other side, which is, I mean, we leave here about 9:30, we're there about 1:30, so it's about 5 hours, something like that. Which is fine, and yeah, it's a Thursday. It was originally a Friday, and then the FA, thanks very much, lads.
Hey,
changed the date.
Fuck yeah.
So it's now Thursday at 6 p.m. because that's the time that every away fan wants a game at the other end of the country, basically in Germany. So yeah, we're going up there. We've got a Airbnb. We're doing 2 nights in Usti, and then we're popping up to Dresden if we manage to see any football in Dresden. I doubt we will, but we will report back if we do.
It'll be a nice trip anyway. For those who don't know, the Czech Nadlabem basically means on the Elbe, the historic river, and it's still a river port to some degree.
Yeah, big coal mining place and one of those places that was under the communist regime, they're very proud of it, and it was very kind of, let's say, regenerated, but in that horrendously communist way. I they knocked down everything old and replaced it with sort of concrete, you know, blocks of flats.
Yeah, everyone's told me it's really shit.
Yes, it's
basically
it's got a nice bridge, and there's a bit of a castle which you can overlook the river ports and the mines from. That's what I'm looking forward to.
It's at least better than Most, which I believe is called Most and no longer has a bridge. So
that's possibly true. Anyway, what have you got for us on Usti there?
Well,
Sam?
Usti play in the very small Mietzki Stadion, which when they were last in the first league, when they were promoted in 2010, wasn't good enough. So they had to use nearby Teplice Stadium.
Right.
Went back down immediately. Won the second league for the first time, actually. Their first thing was to win the second league, and then didn't take the license.
Oh, okay.
Since then, they've never finished higher than seventh. And they're a bit out of place right now because they started with 5 wins.
Yeah, they're sweeping all before them, aren't they?
And then they ran into a real team, Česká Budějovice, and lost. And I am at this point, we were saying how they had a storming start. I think they scored 4 against Žižkov, for example. But I don't know if they're just getting lucky. And I really think that they're actually quite an average team. Just at least on paper, they might be playing out of their skin, but there hasn't been much movement between this season and the last season, where they finished, I think, 9th.
Right.
It's a proper regional squad.
Maybe maybe they're sort of, you know, Leicester City-ing. Yeah. It's all coming together, and they've got a system. They're working hard, staying injury free, and so forth.
almost every single player for them has played at some sort of combination of Usti, Teplitsa and Varnsdorf.
Oh, the cerebral triple.
It's
dear me. There's a grim triangle for you.
It's a lot of people going between clubs, basically. Their front line is headed by Martin Jindracek, who scored 4 goals this season.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2016-17 and last season, he scored 4 goals in the entire
whole
season.
Thing.
So
right.
he's got four already.
Good for him. Well done.
Yeah, so they've got anyone that's new has come in is basically they've got Dominic Schupp, who was recruited on loan from Teplice via Varnsdorf, so there's your triple. as was another player called Michal Bilek. They have an experienced defender called Jiří Pompera, who won the cup with Teplice 4 years ago. But it's in a really unspectacular squad.
Right, okay.
So They've played some average teams so far. This is the first big team, let's say, for the second league that they played. Cheska
right.
Budějovice,
yeah.
And the wheels
came off.
That was it,
fairly,
basically.
Yeah.
So the question is, we're now managerless-ish. We've got, you know, the interim.
Yeah.
And we're going, you know, after a really poor result on the road. So what this means for Zbrojovka is anyone's guess. But maybe it's just getting rid of Pivarnik bounce, but I quite fancy us.
On our away form, I don't fancy us in the slightest because we don't play well. We don't play that well at home, to be honest, but our away form is worse than shocking. Yeah.
I think there are kindred spirits to us, though.
How so?
A few days ago, there was an Usti Denik, the local newspaper.
Yeah.
There was an interview with the manager who described the club's finances as difficult.
They are kindred spirits with us, yes. Okay, fair enough. So, I'm really, really looking forward to this trip. I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting to see a city that has been much maligned,
yes,
and we'll see whether that's true or not. I think it is true, but, you know, we'll see. You know, we'll go in with our eyes open, see what there is to do, and, we will report back to if there's anything to do in Usti and the surrounding areas.
Yes, I think, we'll definitely make it a proper focal point, I think, of the next podcast, particularly because after this, aside from the Rosice game, we won't be playing until the 16th of September.
Because of the
international break.
International break, because apparently that's relevant for the Czech second division.
Yeah.
To have an international break.
And it's a friendly away to Russia.
Oh, really, is
it?
Oh,
so
good.
It's nothing. But like the Czechs away to Russia, I hope that Zbrojovka go to Usti and basically just give it a go.
Yeah. All I'm asking, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll be in the away end. They'll probably
all
about six of us.
All we are asking is give Krija a chance.
Nice.
So anyway.
Well done. I think there'll probably be about seven of us in the away end, if that. I mean, there'll be me and you. Your two lads coming up from Prague, are they?
My girlfriend's Czech/Russian teacher at Leeds Uni. His in-laws are in Usti, so he'll be joining us for
yes,
the game.
Yes, he will. And then whichever other poor sods decide to come up from Brno, but it may very well be only us. And if it is, that will be fucking hilarious. It will be absurd that the Brits will be the only people in the away end. But yeah, we'll see. But I guess that is it from Zbrojovcast this week. You got anything else? Anything
no.
else you want to mention?
No, not really. Just thanks to everyone for listening. Please keep following us on Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, please keep spreading the word if you can, because we are, like I said, we're starting to pick up a bit of a following, but we can never have enough for this self-indulgent nonsense.
And like the Prostyov game, if you'd like some updates that are reasonably live, I'll be trying to tweet through most of the Usti game as well. So
goodo. As we said, you can get in touch with us at Zbrojovcast on Twitter, and we're on Facebook, and we're Zbrojovcast@gmail.com. And we're going to play you out. I should say my name's David.
My name is Sam.
That's true. And we're going to play you out with, well, I will preface this with, get your bottles ready to throw at the chicken wire, because this ain't no Hank Williams song. See you some other time.
See you in a fortnight. Dová si dám pár bílých květů, zahradou zní zvon od bílí let. Znám let a doufám, zpět vrátím toukám náladu z písní ptačích hejn. Dešť v loužích příští stíny stromů, cesty vedou dál pod klenbou tónů. Závidím strání hrou barev mámí, pouť barevnou otvírá den. Zimní den já vítám, znám krásnou zem, tvář žlutou listů dává, je matkou mou a patří všem.